today on Real Radio.
Because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, my life is not futile. I may be a worm, I may be a bozo, but you know what? The day I accepted Christ, my guilt, my shame left me, and purpose and reason entered me. And you can't buy it, you can't take it away from me. I own it. It doesn't matter what you do to me, I die with it. It is absolutely awesome, all because Christ is risen from the dead.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 1. You know, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Peter's approach to Christianity was to love the way Jesus loves, to seek peace at all times, and that our godly convictions are to be expressed with compassion and respect. Peter understood firsthand just how much Jesus Christ suffered for our sins, and when Jesus rose from the dead, he actually put to death the power of death. Eternal life in heaven with Jesus is possible through his free gift of salvation. This amazing act of selfless sacrifice is good news. Jesus took our death sentence upon himself so that we can live forever with him in paradise. So today on day one of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that verses 18 through 22 of chapter 3, well, they're difficult and challenging verses to consider. Peter is urging the Christ follower to dig deeper. We're often tempted to glance through Scripture and move past that which makes us uncomfortable. But the passion of the gospel must be studied and proven to be true in our hearts. And now in his message called Look What Jesus Did, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I'm going to ask you to stand this morning and open your Bibles to a new section of 1 Peter chapter 3. Wow. 1 Peter chapter 3. Reading one minister's commentary, he said, regarding verses 18 to 22, he said, "Church, I'm sorry to confess, but I would rather not teach these verses." Wow. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said, regarding verses 18 to 22, he said, "They are the most difficult verses I've ever had to consider." And the reason why is because it's hard. And the reason why it's hard is because it demands that we dig deep. There's just no way around it. So let's remember, first of all, that dear Peter, who is writing this, is clearly a man who's been transformed by the Holy Spirit. Peter the fisherman can go deep under the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are going to be looking at, for the next several weeks, very probing, deep, interesting portions of Scripture that come out of the mouth of Peter, the heart of the Holy Spirit, and we're gonna be hit upside the head in a good way. So this is great stuff. Father, we pray that this word that we're going to be looking at starting today would have its effect. It is so exciting, and Lord, I'm emboldened by this reality, this fact that You, the Holy Spirit, who authors the Bible 2,000 years ago out of the mouth of Peter, is the same Holy Spirit that is here today in this sanctuary. You are the same Holy Spirit that occupies the heart and the mind of every true believer. And so, Lord, give us the answers. Give us the answers of not only what your word is saying, because, Lord, it is your will that this not be a mystery to us, but also this, Father, more than ever, may we, in the next few weeks, be transformed deeper in our knowledge with Jesus and to appreciate him more and to be more bold and to understand that we have been saved by a great and precious expense. And it was at the expense of your son, Jesus. And Lord, may we experience that reality as we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You could be seated this morning, and we'll have introduction to this portion of Scripture that for the next few weeks will be entitled, Look What Jesus Did. Look What Jesus Did. That's the statement. I'm going to say statement that we're going to be making because it's, I guess it depends on the tone. I could say with a tone, look what Jesus Christ did with a question mark on it, challenging you to go look, but then also a statement of fact. Look what Jesus Christ did and fill in the blanks. And so listen, I want to achieve both those things today in our study. I want to have the question be asked in your life. Look what Jesus Christ did. You might need encouragement today. You might need conviction. You might need exhortation today. You might need God to speak to you today. And if we ask the question, look what Jesus Christ did, it could be for you, it's a salvation question. Or maybe that you've trafficked around Christianity or Christians, but you yourself may find your very person today not saved. Maybe you're not a real Christian. And that's important. So you need to ask yourself the question that you need to look at what Jesus Christ did for you to reconsider. And so as we consider these things, by way of introduction, I'm going to ask you, by the way, to take notes. And if you don't take notes, then you're not going to remember hardly anything, right? Don't we remember what, something like 13 to 15% of what we hear we remember? I don't even think it's that much anymore. But we might remember 13 to 15% between here and the parking lot, but after you get behind your car, it probably goes down to about 2%. I know it's a bad day when I preach and teach on a subject, and then I go in the foyer and greet people, and they ask me, what are you going to talk about? What Jesus did for me? That didn't last longer than about 150 feet. But we need to commit these things to memory. You need to take notes. You need to write these things down. And that's why I'm a big fan of writing in your Bible. I think you ought to really autograph your Bible a lot and mark it up. And when it gets too marked up, get yourself a new Bible. But it's exciting. Listen, before we start talking about what God told Peter to talk to us about, I want to point out today what the Apostle Paul did when he spoke to the church in Greece, in Corinth, Greece. The Apostle Paul stressed that the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ was his chief calling in the ministry that Jesus gave him. Please make note of this. Jesus didn't call Paul to preach and to baptize and to do weddings and to do funerals and to fill in the blank. Did you know that? Paul said, Christ has called me to preach the gospel. In fact, he even went so far to say, I don't even think I baptized anybody except a couple of people. The Apostle Paul. Why do I say this in introduction? Because over the next few weeks, the topic of blood, atonement, baptism, water, judgment, heaven, hell, angels, demons, saints, and sinners are all going to come into play in this portion of Scripture. This is deep stuff. And so rather than do what so many are tempted to do in teaching it, that is just read right through it and move on to easier passages, because I like to get bloody and get beat up, then what we're going to do is we're going to spend time here and you're going to know this. You're going to know this in the next few weeks. We're all going to go through this together and we're going to be the smarter for it. And I believe that we're going to be the more confident in Christ for it. Are you okay with that? I hope so. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul spoke to those in Greece. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you. In other words, continue on in the gospel. Don't respond, but are you continuing on in the gospel since you heard it? Unless you believe in vain. That means you give up, you quit. Verse 3, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Verse 4, and that he was buried and that he rose again from the dead on the third day according to the scriptures. Verse 5, and that he was seen by brethren or by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, verse 6 says that he was seen by over 500 brothers at one time. Can you imagine? Of whom the greater part remain to the present. But some have died. That is the word fallen asleep regarding the believer. Some have died. Verse 7, after that which he was seen by James. and then by all the apostles. And then last of all, he was seen by me, also as one who was born out of due time. Notice what Paul said. This is the gospel, that Jesus Christ came, he died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again from the dead. And Paul throws in there the evidence of the gospel that Christ was literally, physically, tangibly witnessed being resurrected from the dead. That's vital in your note-taking today and in the setup for this portion of Scripture. But it's upon that foundational truth, friend, the magnitude of that doctrine, that Christianity stands or falls. Did you know that? That number one thing. Listen, anybody out there want to destroy Christianity? You want to shut Christians down once and for all? It's easy. Destroy the gospel of Jesus Christ. Prove that Jesus Christ did not die on the cross, that he was not buried, and that he did not rise from the dead. Prove that he was not seen by eyewitnesses. If you can prove those things to be false, you defeat the gospel. Christ is in the grave. Christians are lost, and there is no heaven or hell. Think of it. Everything that you and I love as believers is all rooted and founded and settled on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus is in the tomb, we're dead. Think of that. You determine now what great leaders have shaped human history. And I can get an airplane ticket, and you and I can go and look at their tombs. Every one of them, except one. Not only does he have an empty tomb in Jerusalem, it's awesome. It wasn't even his tomb. Why would he have a tomb? He had to borrow one. Can you imagine? Remember, the Bible tells us that Jesus was laid in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, a very wealthy man of Jerusalem. Family tombs were big. You buried your family generationally. And Jesus was laid in his family tomb, just a stone's throw away from Golgotha, the Bible says, Calvary, the place of the skull. And I just wonder how that went. You know, I wonder if John, you know, John and Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus down from the cross on that day. I wonder what was going on with that. I wonder if John, I'm making this up right now. This is not in the Bible. I'm making this part up. I wonder if John said, hey, Joseph, you mind we borrow your tomb? Yeah, John, it's my family tomb. Yeah, but Joseph, it's only for the weekend. You know, like Airbnb or something, or only for the weekend. And on the third day, the Bible says Jesus rose from the grave. If that's true, then it should cause you to ask yourself the question, what is it that Jesus Christ has done for me? And that should be a searching question. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14 goes on to say, listen to this, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found to be false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he, God, raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. I find that awesome. Because you know what? I know, listen, I can't, this is my reality. It cannot be yours unless you know it for yourself. I know Christ is risen from the dead. I have no doubt, not only because of the biblical record, both in the Bible and outside of the Bible, Roman records, Greek records, that's fine. But I have a better witness of that being true, which I can never explain to you fully. And it is the fact that because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, my life is not futile. I may be a worm, I may be a bozo, but you know what? This is one happy worm and one happy bozo, because the day I accepted Christ, my guilt, my shame left me, and purpose and reason entered me. And you can't buy it, you can't steal it, you can't take it away from me. I own it. It doesn't matter what you do to me, I die with it. It is absolutely awesome, all because Christ is risen from the dead. Martin Luther, the reformer I mentioned earlier, said, is it not wonderful news to believe that salvation lies outside of ourselves? And isn't that true? It's not based upon me. It's not based upon my faithfulness. It's not based upon any other thing except this great fact. Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead, if I like it or not. Jesus is alive. It's awesome. This is our first point for today. It's one and only point. I have to tell you that to encourage you. So we're asking that question or we're making the statement. Look what Jesus Christ did. It's found in verse 18, and it's this. He did an amazing thing. Just write that down. He did an amazing thing. We're going to look at a few things, and I hope that you add in your own list the amazing thing that Jesus has done for you. The first thing is in verse 18, is the fact that he took your sentence upon himself. Will you mark that down? The amazing thing, first of all, regarding the context of what we're looking at, is that what Jesus Christ did, it's amazing. And what it is that he took my sentence, your sentence, upon himself. You say, Jack, what do you mean by sentence? Verse 18 says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. Sin in the Bible demands justice. A lot of people today talking about social justice, which is a profound joke in most of the arguments. When God talks about justice, it is always true. Listen, justice is born out of God. And God says, this is justice. I am holy. I am pure. I'm eternal. I'm not a human. I'm God. I create man in my own moral likeness. I have fellowship with man. I pour my love upon man. I pour my affection. I pour my fellowship. Man sins against the very lover of his soul, God himself. God would have been just by wiping out humanity and starting it over. I would, wouldn't you? Just flush Adam and Eve and the whole ilk down the drain and start over. God gave them amazing things and they blew it. Let them go. Burn them. Let's do it. Fry them. Flush them. They took all my love and they just threw it back in my face. Listen, that's how humans think, not God. God looks in eternity and he sees what's going to happen in the Garden of Eden. And because God doesn't run away from things, he takes them head on. He looks at man's own sovereign decision to sin against the one who loves him, which is called a relationship, by the way. You know this if you have a husband or a wife, a friend or kids. The very ones who you love hurt you the most. And you don't go around and flush them down the toilet. But Pastor, I'd really like to do that. We would all like to do that. But something greater wins the day, wins the argument, right? That thing is love. And God looked at Adam and Eve and he said, I'm going to redeem you and your generation. And God had a plan. He always had a plan. The Bible says he had a plan before Adam and Eve even sinned. He had a plan. Sin. What Jesus did for us is an amazing thing. Is that he took our sentence that was placed upon us because of sin. So it says, therefore, Christ also suffered for sins. And the Bible says he did it once. So I want you to write this down. Hopefully this will be a blessing to you. In John chapter 12, verse 20, John 12, 20, the Bible says, now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. This is Passover season. Jesus has been ministering in Jerusalem and in Galilee. So the Greeks came. These are Jews from Greece. And they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee. And they asked Philip, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. And I love that. They have come to celebrate Passover and by the way, people, Jews would have come from all over the world to make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem for Passover. But the question is being asked by the population. We want to see Jesus. Why? I bet there are 1,000 reasons why. Well, we just want to get a selfie with him. We just want to look. We just want to hear him. Or we think we believe in him. I mean, there's all kinds of opinions about who Jesus was, is, what he was saying, what he was doing, what he says, what he's doing. And in the gathering of this first service today, there are people that fall under one of those categories. Oh, I'm curious about Jesus. I mean, let's be honest. Everyone in the universe is curious about Jesus. It's true. Everybody. Doesn't matter who you are. Say, I don't believe in Jesus. Doesn't matter. You're still curious in him, aren't you? So they said, sir, we would see Jesus. We want to see him. And I love the fact that the Bible makes no apology. The scriptures announce that Jesus is none other than the Messiah. Look at verse 18. It says, for Christ. Christ is the Greek. Messiah is the Hebrew. This is the Savior of the world. Whoever we're talking about, he's the Savior of the world. He's one who suffered, and he suffered once, and it was regarding sin. And this is who he was. He was the just suffering for the unjust. So the word Christ, Christos, is the anointed one. The one that has been anointed by God. That's what that means. The Messiah. It means, by the way, listen, a singular person, a singular office, a singular mission. Church, listen, you're going to want to know this. I think you do, but just be reminded that every cult that knocks on your door represents a different Christ. So look, if the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door, they have a definition of a Christ, and then they leave. And then behind them, the Mormons knock on the door, and they have a representation of a different Christ. You need to get that definition from them. Ask them, define to me who the Mormon Christ is. You should do this. Look, I got to tell you right now, when people knock on your door, do you understand what's happening? They have come to your door. That means they're not leaving your door without you witnessing to them. I take this very seriously. When they knock on my door and I tell them who the Christ is from the Bible, if they start to, sorry, sir, sorry to interrupt. No, you're not leaving yet. Just, we've got this pamphlet from our church. By the way, you do. It's downloadable online, PDF, printed out. And it says, is Jesus God? And you go through all those scriptures. I put all those together 30 years ago when people knock on your door. Use them. So you need to know that. When the Bible says for Christ, we need to understand that there's only one Christ. It's the biblical Christ defined by the Bible, not by Calvary Chapel, not by the Catholic Church, not by the Jehovah's Witnesses, not by the First Baptist, defined by the Bible, who Christ is. Christ is the Messiah. From Genesis to Revelation, he's the same one, and he's singular. The Bible's very clear. There's not two of them. There will never be two, only one. Well, I want to introduce you, Pastor, to a new Christ. Didn't Jesus say in the last days, watch out, for all these things in the last days will be spearheaded by one profound revelation, and it would be that false Christ and false messiahs would come. There's only one, and you're not it. It's Jesus. He's the one.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, with a message called Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 1. We're so glad you joined us today, and let's go beyond our personal comfort by sharing what Christ did for our sake and for the sake of others. Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, at some point we have to ask ourselves what Peter is asking. Do our lives align with our convictions? There's a temptation to go with what others believe or with what's popular. But Peter calls us not just to believe, but to live out our faith with action. In other words, it's something we do as opposed to something we just talk about. A close personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not just believing in him, it's also communing with him. And you know, if devotional time with the Lord is something you need a little help with, Pastor Jack has a devotional plan at his website. Just go to jackhibbs.com, click on the tab labeled Devotions. Now, once you're there, you'll find a highlighted verse from the Bible with a weekly personal story from Pastor Jack that's related to that verse. Now, there are also previous devotions you can click on for daily use. And you know, it's always a good idea to write down your own personal story along with that verse and keep a diary of what the Lord's brought you through. Again, simply go to jackhibbs.com, click on that tab labeled Devotions. That's at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.